it's very much incarnation, God's image in our hearts. And the choice that we have to make is whether we show or how we show that image. What do we do that shows that image of the God that we believe in? And yet, what's obviously true is that for us at times, for many others, I'm sure, even though we know or think we might be made in that divine image, even though we might know there is a right way to live and a wrong way, still we fail to live by those ways. Still we're tempted to live in other ways. This story of the Magi coming seems to speak to me of two awakenings. The first awakening that they have is that in the story they see a star in the sky, and it causes them to wonder, what is this star? Why is it here? What does it foretell? And they decide that it's something that is pointing to something great, or to someone great, as we hear in their conversations later. Their second awakening comes after they have seen this newborn king, as the story tells us, where in the story they're then told in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to take a different route. And I wonder what those two awakenings might say to our own stories of faith. What was our first awakening to God? Was our awakening through the fact that we were immersed into the story because of the family that we were born in? Or were we suddenly taken one day with a beautiful view, or just the wonder of life, the awe and wonder that we are human beings living on this planet, a beautiful planet, even though we try to spoil it badly? Or maybe our awakening came through a moment of crisis in our life, a time of suffering, when we've been confronted by evil. Or maybe it's come through seeing someone doing some good and wondering why. Or seeing in that moment of doing good, that moment of kindness, something that was wonderful that they wouldn't to aspire to themselves, and it sets them thinking about God. It's your story, and it's for you to think about what of those it might have been, or whether it was indeed something else that awoke you to the idea that there was a God, truly a God, who loves us, who wants to know us, and wants us to know God and God's ways. Which brings us to that second awakening. Because it's not just enough to think there is a God, or isn't that beautiful, it speaks of a creator. There's then that moment when we make a choice of which way to follow. The wise men were urged not to follow or go back the way of Herod. For the way of Herod was the way of greed, the way of pride, the way of a lust for power, one who was self-centered, one who would murder if by murder they thought they would get what they wanted. Those seem to me to be the ways of Herod. And when the wise men are told to go a different route home, a different way, they're being told to go a different way in their life, to make choices which deny greed and pride and power, deny that self-centeredness that can lead to acts, including murder. And so then we choose a different way, the way of God, the way that we have been shown and told so much about by Jesus, the one who the Magi went to visit, the one who put himself out in service of others, the one who opened his arms to all people, who would touch the untouchable, who would welcome those who are not welcome anywhere else, who would sit at table with sinners and publicans, not because they were sinners and publicans, but because they, like all people, are worthy of love, of God's love. They're the ways that speak of us being responsible to each other, fellow travellers on a road, helping each other, encouraging each other on that road, supporting one another in all our ways, and encouraging and modelling for each other and for all people the ways of God, the ways of love, of self-control, of gentleness, of humbleness. Just read that list in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. The ways of God as shown in Jesus the Christ. Just as those Magi had two awakenings, so it seems that we too must have those. But we're not just asked in that second awakening to choose a way, because we know how easy it is for us to stray from that way. And that's why for us in the Methodist Church, having a service like the Covenant service seems to me to be so important, so special, because it reminds us every year that the choice we made at that second awakening, if you like, is a choice we have to constantly make, day by day, moment by moment. We do it through our annual covenant service, pledging ourselves to follow God's ways for another year. Really, in some ways, it's a prayer we should be saying every day. For this talks about what would Jesus do? What choice do we make when we're faced with a situation? Is our first thought of ourselves in a selfish way? Or is our first thought of how do we show love, the love that Jesus showed? When a stranger approaches us, do we turn them away or do we back away? Or do we open our arms? And we live in a world where it's difficult sometimes to make those choices. But if our first thought is always to back off, to turn our back on others, then I think we've got the choice wrong. To open our arms as Jesus opened his is a way in which we can build our relationships. We can strengthen relationships. And it is by doing those in our own individual relationships that cumulatively they begin to add to us making a better society, a more just society, fighting for each other's rights rather than leaving people to stand alone, fighting for justice, showing the care and concern for all people. And so I pray that this year and every day this year, you too will make the choice that the wise men made, to turn from the way of Herod to the way of God, the Christ way, to be lights and love in this world. May we do that as we make our covenant. Amen. And so we sing again about those Magi.